Hey guys, these are the Fight Guys. I'm Jay and this is...
This is Edwin. And we're just kind of like reviewing all the fights on the weekends. Saturday there was a few fights.
Yeah, it was a night of champions on Showtime, you know. We had Erislandy Lara taking on Vanes. Really good fights. And the Charlotte twins, you know, they made history becoming the first twins to hold titles at the same time in the same division at the same night. So, you know, really cool stuff.
Yeah, that was actually interesting. That's a cool, because they both fight in the same division, the junior middleweight division. And one of the Charlo brothers actually was talking about how he was like having difficulty making the weight, so he was thinking of 160 and fighting Triple G. So that's an interesting fight. But after the fight, when they asked him, like, so what's going to go on with the Triple G fight? He was like, nah.
He backpedaled. He was talking about, like, yeah, before it was difficult, but now I'm working with this chef. I'm going to stay here. And I'm like, Triple G making everybody run away from him, you know.
But I mean, who wants the piece of that? Who really wants a piece of that? Like, nobody really wants a piece of Triple G.
The Eastern Bloc, they make different type of white people down there. Like, on that side of the world, they different type of white people. I think it's cold, you know. It's like Game of Thrones. They're White Walkers. They play that shit, you know. And the funny thing is that the same Houston camp has three champions right now, who is Erislandy Lara and the Charlo twins, all from the same camp. That's why Lara, you know, after defeating Vanes, was saying he's not going to fight his, you know, his boys, you know. So even though Lara said he wants to rematch with Canelo or he wants Triple G.
That's interesting, too, because here's the thing. Like, I know maybe Erislandy Lara is not like...
Erislandy Lara.
Erislandy Lara is not the most popular fighter, but he's a very good, like, Cuban amateur. Like, well, he was a Cuban amateur.
No, he was the favorite for the Olympics before he defected Cuba.
Yeah. I mean, this guy's really good. Like, his defense is disgusting. And that's why he doesn't, I think, get the credit that he deserves. You know, because he's a born fighter. But let's admit, like, it was a born-ass fight. You know, he doesn't put on shows, but he wins fights, you know? He's amazing at that. So that would be interesting for Triple G to be able to crack that code. Because, yeah, he's a smaller fighter. He's going to be quicker than him, of course. But, you know, Triple G does cut the distance. And this guy could throw, like, any punch and he could hurt you with it. Whether it goes to the body or to the head, you know, left hook, right hand, right overhand, whatever it was,
is. He's a definition of a complete fighter, but the thing with Lara is that Lara's left hand might be the most accurate punch in the sport, you know? That left hand that Lara has is something sweet. He might
have I don't think he throws it enough. Like, he should, you know, definitely throw, like, he's so precise, but like, he doesn't take risks, you know?
But, you know, you're a former Marine. You know what a sniper is. You know, they don't have that many bullets in chamber, but they hit hard. And that's what Lara has with the left hand, you know? And the thing with Lara, he is the most accurate boxer in the sport. Like, his accuracy, you know? And, you know, I know Liam Smith, who holds the other belt at 154. He's fighting some weird guy in Liverpool. And, you know, they're fighting next month in June. And I think he's running away from Lara, you know, like, nobody at 154 wants to face Lara, you know, like, I know the Charlo twins are his, you know, are his teammates, you know, you could say, but I don't think they would stand a chance against Lara either. And to be honest with you, I give Lara the best chance to give Canelo Triple G a fight, because in my eye, beat Canelo, you know, and I'm not the only person that thinks like that, you know.
That is true. I mean, because of his defense, and he's going to use he has both footwork and hand defense. So
with balance, it would be something beautiful.
He uses his feet to get away from his opponent. He does you know, run quite a bit, but he also, you know, uses his hands as well. He doesn't keep his hands down and, like, gets caught with dumb punches. So he's a very smart, accurate fighter. He's really good. He's very skilled. But again, like, I don't think a lot of people like that, like his style, you know? And going
to Sullivan's,
I would like to see, like, that sparring session. That would be, like, really, I think that would be an interesting sparring session because, you know, if you fight the guy over and over and over again, you don't want to fight your teammate, of course, but, like, and they're good friends, you know? So.
Yeah, and you learn tendencies and you know what gets them on and off and, you know, their weaknesses and everything.
I fight the distance better, which is the most important thing, like, opponents have to do with Vara. Like, it's cutting that distance, cutting the ring off.
But even when you're when Nada's in front of you, you can't hit the guy because his head movement is top-notch. His balance, you know, the way he ducks, the way he, you know, he moves like a butterfly, you know, up there, you know. And you don't see fighters with that movement anymore, like, you know, because, you know, it doesn't sell.
You go to the body, the head will follow. And, you know, it's hard to make people miss when you go to the body. It's hard.
But
unless you got room.
From Banas to the body, you know. Banas from a lot to the body, and Lara still had him, you know.
I mean, yeah, but, you know, look, Banas is a, to be honest, I think he's probably like a C-plus level fighter. You know,
I think
so,
for the division, he's probably a B fighter. He's a competent fighter for 154, you know. He has no pedigree. He represented America, you know. You got to give the man his respect, you know. He's not as, you know, like, the thing with boxing right now, it's lacking superstars. Like, the divisions, you know, like, you know, the money division right now, you know. You know, you're talking about 147, you know. Anything other than that, you know, it lacks the depth, you know.
Yeah, but the thing is with boxing that I really dislike is
the politics.
You know, the politics, you know, the diplomacy. Here's the thing, there's good fights to be made, but because, like, you know, one promotion doesn't get along with the other promotion, then they just fight, you know, people from their same promotion and this and that, and it's just BS. You know, it's just a whole bunch of BS. And then,
yeah,
like
Canelo fighting your boy Lemieux next. You know, he's put that.
What was that?
Canelo's fighting his David Lemieux next. They're teammates under the Golden Boy banner. And if they.
Well, that's a good fight. I think that's a good fight. But
at
Lemieux,
160 it is.
Probably,
at 160. Not at 154. Lemieux will be so dried up. You know,
you mean at 154? Like if
yeah,
Lemieux,
Lemieux doesn't stand a chance at 154 because, you know, once you cut that weight, you know, your chin goes down. You know,
he's a regular 160. He's a good 160.
And he fought at 168 as well too. He's a big guy, you know.
Yeah, and but he got heavy hands, so you can never count him out. Lemieux, he got heart and he got.
Oh, yeah, I don't count him out, but I'm saying
he's got a pretty good damn thing because, you know, Triple G he used a lot of the jabs to control him, but at the end he was putting a pounding on him, and he took it like, you know, the ref just stopped it. But it is what it is, but I'm still interested in that fight, like Lemieux, like Canelo, like Lemieux is...
I'm not. I'm interested at 160 because after Canelo talk, all that... Shit about
Triple G. Yeah, but Canelo, to be honest, Canelo's small for 160. Canelo's like small for 160.
And not only that, because, you know, usually the smaller fighter has the speed advantage. Canelo will not have the speed advantage, you know. He'll be lacking that as well.
You need to think, like, you know, Canelo at 154 is kind of like
fighter.
A 154, but he, you know, he has no movement. Like, His footwork kind of sucks, to be honest with you. And
can't expose that. You know, like how good footwork you make Canelo look silly. Like, because if Canelo didn't have that power, he was gonna get. He was getting. You know, he was taking a class off by Khan. Khan was putting a class. You get me?
But I think Canelo could have. I wanted him to press more. I wanted him to push his tempo more, and he's used to, you know, fighters coming to him, and so, like, he had to kind of, like, chase Canelo, and he didn't know how to cut the ring off, and that's the thing, like,
he's Canelo, a really fighter, like, Canelo is a really popular
in movement, yes. Now, if a fighter's going to be game and he's going to come to him, I think it's a different story. Canelo's very good at that.
But if he fights a boxer...
And that's the thing, like, if he fights, you know, Styles makes fights. You know, if he fights a boxer, he's going to have difficulties. If he fights, you know, a fighter, a brawler.
Like the Charlo twins. One of the Charlo twins will give him a lot of trouble. And, you know, that's a better match for, 154. You know, fight a Charlo twins. Fight a real 154-pounder. You know, don't have somebody cut down a lot of weight, dry them out. You know, or somebody, you know, that's coming up in weight, you know. Fight somebody.
Well, that's a smart thing to do. Like, I mean, at 154, really, like, who's a super? There's no, like, super fight. You know what I'm saying?
Well, what he should really do is give a lot of the rematch. But he knows he wants to fight.
I don't know. I mean, like, a lot of people say, like, Lara won that fight. I'm not really interested in that fight.
I'm not saying I'm interested in the fight, but I'm saying if he's really about avenging losses and being the better man, you give a lot of the rematch. You get me?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, I think he's playing the smart thing. He got out of there with a win, and you know,
very,
looked
very
good
with controversial win.
You know? Yeah. He got away with the win, and then, like, he's trying to, like, move on. He's not going to try to go back and, like, make it a trilogy and make it all, like, you know, this huge rematch. He knows better than that. Like, he's not gonna go down road because why? He could get paid a lot more. Lara doesn't sell tickets. Ain't nobody wanting.
But the thing with Lara is, you know, Lara comes from a different background because, you know, Lara doesn't need a lot of money to be good because, you know, where he comes from in Cuba, you get me? So Lara does it for the love of the sport, you know, like, we all know the situation in Cuba, which even Lara said, you know, it'll be his dream come true to defend his title in Cuba. And, you know, I think that if you really want to make money with Lara, you know, it's possible now because what the government is at right now, you could do a Lara fight with anybody at in Cuba, and that'll be a really intriguing fight. You know, it'll sell a lot of tickets. You know, you have international people going to Cuba. You open that market up. You know, and it's a destination place. And I think a lot of people
want to go to
Cuba.
What champion wants to go to Cuba, or what? You know, what fighter wants to go to Cuba to fight Laura?
Nobody wants to fight him now in the United States because. I don't think.
He's a defensive, like, just a huge defensive puzzle.
I think if Liam Smith beats Tredroch, who he's fighting in Liverpool, you try to unify those belts, you know, with Lara. You know?
I guess, but there's no money, like, behind those fights.
I'm saying that's what
it's an interesting fight, and I think, like,
Liam Smith is a competent fighter. He has a belt, you know?
I think Laura won, son, you know?
Me too, but, you know, you gotta, you know, like, he won the belt by beating Romero, you know? He won the Bacon belt, one of the belts, you know, left by the Mayweather leaving the sport. So, you know, that's, you know, and he beat John Thompson, Jimmy Kelly, you know, like, he needs, and Liam Smith is running from Lara, you know, because you know, having a belt in the UK sells. You get me?
I mean, yeah, I guess. I guess it's just I'm not. I mean, you know, I can appreciate it, and I could see like the skill behind it because I know like boxing and I know how difficult that is. But I'm saying like, boxing is a dying sport, and I love boxing. That's why I kind of you have to make it like these good fights, interesting fights, which they are there out there. But the thing is, like, you know, this politics sucks, and it's just like, you know, we can't get Canelo Triple G, you know, just like, you know, the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight was like 5 years way too late. It was just like, what the hell is this? You know, everybody thought it was going to be this huge fight, like really good, like blah, blah, blah. I knew. It's like, these two guys are pretty much over the hill. Now, if you do Mayweather and Conor, you know, Conor McGregor, that's a possibility. Hey.
And that might be the biggest fight in pay-per-view right now. And I was watching First Take with Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith, and, like, they were saying, like, and they were like, oh, man, Conor McGregor is delusional, thinking he could sell, like, they were saying, like, how Mayweather doesn't need Conor to sell tickets, pay-per-views, like, I'm saying, you people, like, you know, I know there are ESPN people, but you got to give Conor his respect selling pay-per-views, you get me?
Look, I don't like Conor per se, I'm not a fan, but he can sell tickets. Definitely, he's a superstar. I mean, you can't take that away from him. Like, there's no way you can't say that. Like, he is a superstar. He does, you know, sell tickets with his mouth, you know.
And after Mayweather, you know, Mayweather, he's retired right now. You know, Ronda Rousey, her head is in Universal Studios right now. So after Ronda Rousey and Mayweather, since they're both, like, out, they're halfway out, who is the pay-per-view king right now? It's Conor.
Yeah, I agree.
He's the biggest star in combat sports right now, you know, like, so when people, you know, because I know a lot of people hold boxing dearly, you know, it's like, it was the sport of the forefathers, just the sweet science, you know, it's the square circle, you know, but even though, you know, a lot of people, you know, they don't get the respect to MMA, but it is.
I think, you know, that's like old school.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, the old school mentality.
You know, they can't, like, switch over and they see it as, like, this violent sport, MMA, because it's in this cage and blah, 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 whatever. You know, it's all good. I can see, you know, they're both two completely different sports. And that's why I think Mayweather, I don't give Conor, you know.
No, I don't give him a chance either.
I don't give him a chance. There's no way he's going to.
Yeah, but
you know,
different sports, the same reason you put Mayweather.
12-ounce gloves, maybe 8-ounce gloves. Like, you know, it's a different story if, you know, if they.
4-ounce gloves, because.
4-ounce gloves.
He's a giant, you know. Conor's another giant.
Yeah, I mean, he cuts a lot of weight. You know, this guy's walking around, like, over
190. 190, even though he's not as big as your girl Cyborg, you know, but.
Yeah. I don't know what type of drugs.
You ever seen Shrek? You ever seen Shrek? You know, but beauty's in the eye of the beholder. I'm not calling her ugly, but, you know, when Shrek was an ogre, you know, like, he fucking got shit done, you know, he's a heavy hitter. And that's the same way I see Cyborg, you know. And, you know,
Cyborg could be a huge star in the UFC, but she gotta come down to 135 or take these bigger fights that they're being offered to her.
Yeah, the thing with her is she's in a comfortable place making decent money for her. So I really,
like,
you know, like her nutritionist says, you know, like, yeah, Cyborg could make 135, but it's gonna come at a cost. You know, and it's going to come at a cost. Like he said, it's one thing making 135. Another thing is for her fighting at 135. You know, and that's the thing that I see with Cyborg. You know, yeah, she might be able to make 135, but the way she's going to fight at 135, I think these girls are too good for her because she's fighting nobody at 140 and 145, you know. 145 is a shallow division. There's no competition for her there.
Yeah, so both, I mean, like, 140 was a catch weight, but 145, it is a shallow division because you're not going to find, like, that big of a woman to be, like, fighting, you know? Like, they're just far and in between. But the thing with her is if she could make 135, and I get it, like, she's cutting so much weight from 190 to 135, and, you know, she dehydrates herself.
Yeah, like she did, I think, 2 months ago.
To me, like, she looked really, you know, she came to the limit, and she came out 139. She looked really good to me. You know, she put on a show. She put on, like, her movement, her striking was really, really good.
Oh, yeah. Jason Perulo, who's Bisping coach, he's a great boxing coach. And her hands look fluid, you know. You know, like, because before she was like a brute. She beat women.
She's a robot.
She used her strength. She would, like, you know, rush people. But her fight against Leslie Smith, even though Leslie Smith should be fighting at 125, you know, she literally had to.
Smoother. She looked a lot smoother.
Oh, yeah, she looks crisp, you know. Like, wow, this girl actually is throwing combinations. She's not just throwing things to throw them. She's actually, you know, there's actually something behind these punches, you get me?
Yeah, before she was, like, just throwing a bunch of haymakers and seeing, like...
Because she had the power. Girl,
exactly. These girls, they don't have a chin. I mean, like, I'll be honest. If she hits, you know, Ronda Rousey with those shots, you know, those haymakers...
Ronda Rousey, me.
Ronda Rousey ain't going to be standing. You know what I'm saying?
My thing is, will she have the same power at 135 as she has at 140? Because, you know, there has to be a compromise. Because, you know, she can't come in that big into camp. There has to be a compromise, you know, and
it has to be a gradual thing, like, you know, and that's what, like, a lot of, like, fighters don't realize. You know, let's just not, like, cut 40 pounds of, like, water weight, you know, in the last week.
But the thing with her that I see, I don't think...
It's a gradual thing.
I don't think she's going to do something gradual. I really think she's probably going to go at it, you know, beast mode at it, you get me? And try to just cut everything at the last minute. And like I said, you know.
But then she's not going to, you know, like, be really valuable in the UFC. I don't think she's going to stay in the UFC for a long period of time. And
I don't think so either. Because I don't want to put in the work.
Yeah.
Be a superstar.
I don't see the UFC making a new division. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no. Women is very shallow right now.
Well, like, the 115 is, I mean, that's a really good division, although just Joanna Jędrzejczyk is a beast. I mean, her hand.
I think she's a pound-for-pound best woman fighter in the world. Miss Joanna. Like,
her striking is ridiculous. It's a lot better than almost any UFC fighter in the roster. I'm not talking about, you know, as women or men. I'm talking about in the roster, like.
Oh, yeah, her hands are up there with legit boxers. Like, if you, because, you know, she has a great kickboxing move, you know, like. There's few people in the world, you know, like, but the thing with her, she came with man, she had that Dutch style, you get me?
Yeah,
so, you gotta give that respect, you know?
Yeah, make kickboxing and Muay Thai.
Like, the combination she throws is something beautiful, like.
And that's the thing, like, I don't think, like, any woman can handle is, and I'm really interested in the Claudia Gadelha fight. That's gonna be a good fight, because I think, you know, grappling-wise, Clara get it, but striking-wise, you know, Joanna Jędrzejczyk got that. So if
Joanna got that fight wherever it goes, like her defensive wrestling and takedown defense has...
It has gotten better, but you got to say it was an interesting fight, the first fight, and there's a rematch. I mean, you got to give it to her.
Yeah, but what also when you see like where both fighters are right now, where Joanna is, she just keeps getting better and better.
Yeah, but don't sleep on her. Don't sleep on her.
I'm not sleeping on Claudia, but I doubt that Claudia has gained competence to at least be on Joanna's level, you know, and on the feet, you know.
I think if she could, you know, take a couple shots and then, like, cut that distance, grab her, take her down, she could win the fight.
You pull guard. You pulled guard. You got black belt that you got at the gym. You pulled guard.
Anything. If she gets her to the ground and she starts making it a grappling contest, I think she got it. I think she could. She could definitely.
I know what I'm saying, and she has a better chance.
But you got to make an ugly fight. You know what I'm saying? Like if she lets Joanna Jędrzejczyk just, you know,
oh no, things. Joanna's gonna give her free nose job. You know, courtesy of Dana White and Lorenzo Fertitta. That's what she's
gonna get. She's just like the first fight, you know, she's gonna end up, you know, needing a few stitches.
Oh yeah, you know, if I'm a surgeon right now, plastic surgeon, I'd be calling the UFC and like, hey, I wanna sponsor Joanna and Claudia Gajela. Claudia gets free this and that because she's gonna need a, you know, face job.
That's if, you know, she doesn't grapple her. Because, you know, if she lets her just go ahead and, like, just fight, like, just, you know, go ahead and, like, throw a whole bunch of combinations, she's going to be in trouble. Like, no girl on this planet that's going to be able to stand that.
And the thing about Jawan is that she actually enjoys putting on a beating. Like, she could knock girls out, but she actually enjoys.
I actually feel bad. I forgot. It was like two fights ago.
Tessia? No, it wasn't Tessia.
No. What the hell's her name? I think she's the American chick that was on Tough.
Yeah, all the girls were on Tough.
Oh, my God. She took a beating. I felt bad. I was like, if I was the ref, I would have stopped that shit. Cause
she needed a nose job. She needed a nose job. She wasn't that good looking.
And still, man, I feel bad. I was like, damn, like, you could fucking call it anytime you want right about now.
You're talking about Jessica Pena, right?
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't like, one or two. It was like four, six.
Well, you're making this instructional DVDs? Like,
huh?
She made an instructional DVD out of the fight. That's what she did.
Jesus, like, she was throwing him with everything. It was like a whole bunch coming in. It was like Mike Tyson, like, in a small frame, you know, go to the body, go to the head, go to the body. Like, it was like her footwork, everything. It was like her striking was just disgusting. It was nasty. I was like, wow, this chick is.
It was a thing of beauty.
Yeah.
Like, you know, she's one of, like as we said, she has to be up there, men and women. Top 5, top 10 hands in the world. Boxers, any type of striking you do, her hands, you know, and her brain, you know, she's so savvy, you know. She puts things together. She's, you know, like, she's up there, you know. You got to give that woman her respect, you know, like.
In UFC, like, she's probably, like, now in boxing, I mean, you know, you do have Triple G, you have,
that's what the top 10. You got to give her, you know.
Yeah. Chocolatito, like, he got some.
I think Chocolatito and Joanna should be making babies.
Jesus Christ.
They should be making babies, you know, make a Polish Latino baby, you know, just to come and freaking wreck the world so we can send them to the Middle East and defeat ISIS.
You imagine the hand feet on that kid and the footwork? Jesus Christ.
Oh, wow. He's a great soccer dancer.
Holy shoot! You talk about combinations. Holy shit! That would be amazing.
Oh yeah, the kid will be amazing. You know, like, and but another good fight when it comes to women is Valentina Shevchenko, who actually beat Joanna in kickboxing and Muay Thai. She actually beat Joanna. So, you know, Valentina Shevchenko, she's taking on Holly Holm. Who's, you know,
yeah,
a great.
A bigger, oh, yeah, I mean, she's a, you could see the disparity, and, I mean,
yeah,
she's
but
an
he's fighting somebody
wizard.
That has better hands than her, you know. This might be the first person that Holly faced, you know, that is better than her. Like,
true.
Like a better striker.
Yeah. Like, Holly Holmes is in trouble. Like, because Holly Holmes is kind of like a boxer. She moves a lot. Her movement is good. Her defense is good. It's going to be a tough fight, though. You know?
Yeah, you know, and it's going to be an intriguing fight because we don't know
but
how...
It's going to be a striking fight. Yeah, it's going to be striking because...
Because we know how Holly's black belt lost the color in the washing machine. It became white. So it's going to be a fun fight. Like, let's see, you know, because if I'm Holly, I'm pulling guard under, you know, I'm pulling arm under Tina Shevchenko, you know. Because, you know, like, I know, you know, Holly has good kicks, but she's fighting a legit Muay Thai artist, you know. Valentina Shevchenko might be the fighter in the UFC with the most credentials when it comes to striking. Like,
that's true, but look who Holly Holmes is. And you want her to pull guard? Like, Holly Holmes is like a fish out of water, you know, on the ground.
Yeah, but she's fighting,
I would
you know,
her best freaking option, or, you know, the way I see, like, her winning is, you know, keeping it standing.
Yeah, but...
find a way.
It could get up.
The jab, control the distance.
She has to make it an Eddie Flandy Lara type of fight, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, slow down the tempo. Yeah, make it a very slow, boring fight, methodical, very technical fight. Yes. Yeah, she has to do that to win the fight. I don't see her. There's no way in hell, like, Holly Holmes is winning the fight on the ground.
And she has a chance of losing the fight on her feet.
If she's a boxer, I mean, like, you might as well go with your bread and butter. You know what I'm saying? Like, what is she gonna, like...
Yeah.
Do what you've been doing for the last, like, 20 years.
Yeah, you know. But she's also fighting a girl that could outstrike her. And, you know, this is the first time since she was, you know, in the boxing ring that she faced somebody that could outstrike her.
That
you
is
know?
True. Mm-hmm.
So, but it's an interesting fight, you know. You know, so what else happened this weekend, you know? You were at that Beamer conference, you know, which is an interesting, cool device. Want to
yeah,
the
it's a medical device. It's a FDA type 1 approved device. Like, you know, I have knee injuries after, you know, doing jiu-jitsu. I shattered my tibia and stuff. I've been training for a tournament and stuff. And so, you know, I've completely, like, changed my work habit. And I don't do, like, explosive workouts anymore. I do, like, low-intensity, low-impact workouts. So I'm always, like, trying to, like, look for something that new and improved to help with my knee. And this technology is, like, fairly new. It's a German product that has been out there for, like, just 17 years and stuff. But I only speak for, you know, myself. Now, it is going through, like, and they are trying to get, like, a type 2, you know, a service approved by the FDA.
Yeah, it's a medical device, you know, but let's just explain what the device is. Basically, a device is a sense of signal that increases circulation.
Yeah, blood flow, and it helps.
You know, that's a simple, you know, like layman's term. It is the best increased circulation in the body.
Yeah, and it also improves, you know, with, you know, stress management and also, you know, sleep, you know. So, which is very important in an athlete or anyone, because that's how the body actually recovers. When you're sleeping, it's when you actually recover. So if you work out and you eat right and you do this and that and everything else, and then you get 2 hours of sleep a night, I don't care what you do, you ain't going to be good because your body's not recovering. It has to go into that sleep mode, into that deep REM sleep where it can recover, to, you know?
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. So anything else you got into you want to talk about?
No, I was just going to share my experience with it. Like, so I can't really sit for long periods of time and stuff. And so I was looking forward to going to the seminar, but at the same time, you know, it's like a catch-22. You know I was going to be struggling, and, like, you know, at the end of the weekend, you know, I was going to be hurting. So I go, you know, I was sitting for a while. I had to drive there. It took me an hour. And then, like, you know, I was like, well, let me use this thing on my knee. And so I had used it, but I had used it on a low intensity. And then, like, this time, you know, the chick one, you know, she's the main, the presenter and stuff. She comes over and she's like, oh, you know, you're pretty healthy and you drink a lot of water and you're in shape. You know, I got a program just for you. And she kind of like put it on, and I left it on there for like 20 minutes on a, you know, higher intensity level. And it did like really work. And I used it for a couple of days. I used it Friday and Saturday, and then, you know, it felt really good. It felt like, you know, I wasn't sitting the whole time, because I normally do have to do, like, yoga every day and do, like, all different types of movements and stuff and other stuff. So, you know, for me, it was really beneficial. And, I mean, hopefully for everybody else, if you're interested in it, like, contact me. You know, our information, you could find it, in our page, or you could just
the information's there. You know, they could just find the Fight Guys at the blog. You know, they could go to our SoundCloud. The information is there. They go to the fightguys.weebly.com. It has all that information, our emails, and all. You know, if you want to contact us, have any other questions or anything you guys want to talk about or discuss, you know, we're open for anything, you know. We're starting, but we're not stopping, you know. This is just the beginning, you know. We're trying to find a rhythm, trying to find our voice, you know. So we got some stuff.
Yeah, and normally we're going to try to do, you know, Mondays and Fridays. So, like, Monday is kind of like review on the weekend. Most of the fights are on Saturday. So just review what happens over the weekend. And, like, if Friday, like, comes along, like, we could talk about what happened during the week, you know, if there's new, like, stuff coming out, as well as, you know, kind of like do a little preview for the fights, you know, to come up that weekend. And I know next month there's going to be some interesting fights, you know, on HBO and on Showtime, so I'm kind of excited. And there's also some really good UFC fights.
Yeah, and another thing that I was thinking about that we're probably going to be is, you know, we're going to have, like, a drive-by podcast, because we do go to the bars to watch the fights together. So it's basically, these will be, like, mini podcasts, like a little snack, you know? So basically us, instant reaction on the way back from the bar, you know, letting you guys, like, oh, this is, you know, because, you know, everybody could be a Monday morning quarterback, you know, when you have time to analyze things, you see them differently, you got the highlights, you read about it, but, you know, it's different when you see it right then and there, and you got to speak about it, cause, you know, it's live, the drone is still going. You know, sometimes you see something beautiful like that Joanna Fannin fight, and, you know, it inspires you, and you feel like, wow, you know, like, because for me, you know, fighting is an art, you know. So these are martial artists painting a painting for the public, you know. Even though they might be in their underwear, they still, what they're doing takes a lot of skill and balls to do so. You know, sometimes that inspires you, you know, and it's a different reaction. You have 10 minutes away from a fight than the next day, you know, because you go to sleep, you think about things, but that instant reaction is, it's sometimes you get inspired, you know, not when you watch Lotto or Mayweather.
Yeah, when you Yeah, yeah, exactly. You'd be asleep or, like, damn, I can see both. You gotta have, like, a different perspective. I just see it as, you know, I could definitely appreciate Lara's styles. And, you know, Rigondeaux has great defense, another, like, small 122-pounder, which is just a beast. I mean, but nobody could beat that guy, you know? But he doesn't get
fight him either.
Respect. Yeah, he can't get the competition to actually show off his skills. So it's difficult. So I see why, you know, somebody like Connor or somebody like Triple G, a lot of people, you know, connect with them or are fans because they're exciting fights. Like, everyone wants to see, like, a KO. But it's actually pretty damn hard to, like, KO.
But not only that, you know.
With one
like fighter.
You can actually, like, Canelo, even though Amir Khan has a questionable chin and everything, you know, where I saw this interview with Bernard Hopkins, you know, a legend, and he was like, you know, and they were asking him, like, oh, you know, were you inspired? Were you, like, wow? And he was like, yeah, whenever you knock somebody out, one punch is definitely devastating, and it's definitely impressive. So
you leave a mark. You leave a mark on everybody, not only the fighter who just knocked out, but you leave a mark on the audience, you know, and on the other fighters. But the other thing that people like that Conor McGregor and Triple G have, and even Kovalev to an extent, is that they are not afraid of an L. They're willing to take the challenge. You get me? Like, and, you know, a lot of fighters, they say, I fight anybody, anytime, but we all know that's just marketing, you know. But when you have fighters that are willing to do that, fans gravitate to that. And McGregor has that feeling. Triple G has that. Aura. Kovalev has that, you know. Has that. Kovalev's going to kill you like he did a couple of sparring partners and another guy. You know, Kovalev kills people. So that's a different type of white guy, you know. You don't want to mess with Kovalev. And I don't know what's going to happen with Ward taking out a tune-up fight before Kovalev. The best thing that could happen to Ward is to lose his next fight, like get a split decision and lose. That would be the best thing that could happen to Ward.
I don't think so. I'm looking forward to that fight. I'm really, like, interested in the Kovalev Ward. Like, Ward is a beast. Like, Ward.
Remember Rocky when Apollo Creed died? You can see that.
He is moving up in weight. He did fight at 174. He had one fight. He does want to have another fight and see how he feels at 174. I mean, Kovalev is a beast, man. He's a beast. And that's going to be a good fight. The Ward, I mean, this kid is nasty.
Because right now,
he lost, like, age 14. This guy's, like, 12, 30.
I think it was 12. Right? 12?
That's ridiculous.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, the top 3 pound-for-pound boxers in the world for me are Chocolatito, Triple G, and Kovalev. Then everybody else is, like, a class below them. You got me? Even War. And War's a hell of a fighter, but I don't think War is near those 3 fighters. You get me? Roman.
He was. Thing, like, with Ward, I think, like, for the last couple of years, you know, well, he's had, like, 2 fights before, but
all
he
legal issues and all that stuff.
And he was still having a lot of legal issues and stuff, so he didn't fight. But he was up there, you know, right behind Mayweather on the pound-for-pound list, and people forget that, you know. He was really, really good, and he cleaned out the division. I mean, and he made it look very simple and easy, and he was, you know, just, I mean, putting on a
movement, but.
No, and he didn't duck anyone at 168. He cleaned.
I remember the Super 6, you know, in Showtime that took 2 years to develop that he won. But my thing is, are they going to allow Andre Ward to fight with a bulletproof jacket? Because he's going to need one. Kovalev is going to, that power Kovalev has in both hands is something that Ward has never faced before.
To the body and to the hand. Not, you know, he's not a guy that's gonna, you know, just try to knock you out.
He's
easily just, you know, he doesn't headhunt. He just goes, he can go to the body and knock you out.
He
unlike so many.
He human hunts. You know, it's like you got 60 minutes to kill your opponent. And he literally takes it like, okay, I'm going to kill you. You know, so.
I mean, the alien, Bernard Hawkins, I don't know how he really survived that. But, you know, in the first round, you know, right off the bat, he got knocked down. And he got back up like, you know, he's a legend.
Which
for,
I think was a mistake, you know. Retrospectively, thinking about it, he should have stayed down. Because that beating he took, it was like, I felt bad for Hopkins. I'm like, and in my mind, I'm thinking, are we going to see an American hero take a beating that he's never going to be the same? Because that was the way that it was looking. You get me? Like, he lucky that he could still speak. You know, we've seen boxers take a beating like that before, and they never the same.
That's true. But his defense is really good too. So, you know, a lot of those shots he didn't hit clean. But that's the scary thing about Kovalev. He doesn't have to hit you clean. It could be off the glove, and he can still knock you out.
Mm. He could kill you if he hits you clean.
That's a scary man. I mean, like, I don't fear no man, but...
Oh, he's scary, you know. But the worst part of all is that when you hear the rumors, they say that Triple G owned him in the gym. So...
And that's even more absurd. Like, that's even like, who the hell really wants to get in the ring with Triple G? I mean, I can see why, like, so many people duck him. And, like, that's the problem with Triple G, is he's so good that nobody wants to, like, sign up. Like, you gotta find these, like, low-level fighters that are just, like, trying to get paid. You know, and just
because, like, you know, and nobody
balls,
likes to get beat.
Because they got to have huge balls to go in there with Triple G and be like, I'll put myself on the line. I don't care, you know. Like, I'm going to make history. And, you know, that's what you look for, like, in a fighter. That, you know, but these, a lot of these guys play it safe and, like, it's all about politics and they want to protect the O because there's a certain fighter out there that protected his O so much. So, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, but, you know, a lot of, that's the thing in boxing, you know, like fighters, you know, want to protect that O. And I think that's a big mistake because, you know, it's been proven that when fighters, they take the chance. Even Canelo lost to Mayweather. And I think that made him a bigger star because people said, wow, he actually took the risk. And even though he lost, you know, it made him, you know, the fans, like I said, fans gravitate to the challenge, you know, and you look real when you take a challenge.
You know, you got to respect, like, Conor McGregor for taking on the fight that he took with Diaz. Yeah, he lost, but he's game fighter. You know, I definitely, like I said, I'm not a fan, but I definitely, like, can respect Conor for that. You know, he talks a lot of trash, but he backs it up in the ring. I mean, in the octagon. And that's one thing, like, I like about UFC is, you know, if
there's no
fans want to see a fight, they're gonna get to see that fight. It's ain't nobody ducking anybody. And they're not, like, a protected. You can't hide, and you can't protect the O. So that's why, you know, almost. MMA fighters, you know, have at least one loss.
And nobody's undefeated. That's a legit fighter in MMA because they actually fight competition. You know, even John Jones, even though the only loss he has is the Q because he almost killed Mike Hamill.
You know? Yeah, that's a BS. I mean, like, no contest or he got disqualified. He didn't really lose that fight, you know, but it is what it is.
Yeah, you know, shit happens, you know. Sometimes the refs can make a mistake, you know. It's part of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's the refs' job to, like, not be that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
not
get away. Let the fighters fight. Don't be part of it. Yeah. You know, just be there for safety, you know, and control.
Yeah. and protect the fighters, you know what I'm saying? Because there's some fighters that are pretty game, and that, you know, and I love it, and they ain't going to give up. But, you know, sometimes you don't want to see this fighter, you know, 5-10 years down the road with CTE. Come on now.
Yeah, a fighter's job is to fight, you know, so they're going to fight no matter what. Look at Chris Weidman. He wants to get back in the cage after having freaking, after neck surgery, and I'm like, somebody needs to, you know, sit that guy down.
Well, I'm a fan of, like, Weidman, and I think,
yeah, but
you know,
Weidman has pulled out of 4 championship fights 25 months. You know the money that has cost the man? You know, like, that's money that he's not going to get back. That's a lot of money. You get me? So
sure. I mean, I think he could be a superstar, but, like, all his injuries, yeah. Like, his body
is not active.
Out of him. It's about that time where it's like he has to, like, just someone has to tap him on the shoulder. It's like it's time to retire because all those injuries are taking a toll on him, you know.
Especially wrestling, you know. Wrestling, it is a tough sport. Wrestling might be the toughest martial art on the human body, you get me? And, you know, like, it's really hard on your body. You look at wrestlers. You look at Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle cannot move his head. You know, like, he has to twist his body to look to the left or the right, you know. And that's sad because that's an Olympic medalist, gold medalist. That's an American hero. So you got to understand that, you know, wrestling, you know, it's tough on the human body. Like, these guys from high school, sometimes from, like, 8 years old, they're slamming each other on their shoulders and their head. And, you know, we're not robots. There's only so much punishment that we could take. So he has a wrestling pedigree. He's a great wrestler.
Yeah.
So when you put that much miles on your body, you know, you're going to break down, you know. Look, Kobe Bryant broke down at the end. Everybody breaks down, and, you know, and even though he's young, but
by the time he's undefeated.
Yeah, not only that, but, you know, there's only so many injuries the body could take, you know. Like, how much duct tape can you put on the freaking stick before it becomes all duct tape? You know, there's going to be nothing under there, you know, and a lot of fighters, I know, you know, they're prize fighters, so they have to make money. And a lot of fighters don't have other avenues to make money. You know, this is their bread and butter. And I think that's a problem. Like, these fighters, you know, have to be entrepreneurs. Like, hey, how can I make money besides hurting my body? Because there's a time limit on how long you could do this. You get me? Like, we've done jiu-jitsu. We both train. So, you know, we haven't done it at that level. But those little nip and tugs, they accumulate on you. So, like, you get me?
You know, so, even I met an ex pro football NFL player this weekend that was at this event. And, you know, I had a whole conversation about, you know, injuries and, like, how to, you know, prevent injuries and how to, like, kind of, like, know when to push through them and know when to, you know, sit out a little bit and, like, rest and heal. Very, very interesting, and hopefully I'll have him on the show. He said he was interested in coming and talking about a whole bunch of different stuff. But that'll come soon. We'll have, like, different. I've know so many, like, interesting, like, you know, athletes and pros, whatever it is that they do, whether it be diet or fitness, you know, all those things. So,
and another thing, we're looking to come up something for veterans. You know, I like veterans. You know, I give my thanks to these veterans because they put their life on the line, you know, for what we have here. So, you know, we want to start something small, you know, anything, you know, that, you know, give back to the people who gave their life for us. And so we're working on that. You know, hopefully by the end of the year, you know, we have something.
Yeah, maybe we, you know, we're thinking about putting a nonprofit organization and, or working with the VA and helping, like, veterans and other stuff. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff that, you know.
Yeah, so we're coming up with that.
A whole bunch of different avenues we could go down. But
yeah, that'll be later on in the future. So by the end of the year, we'll have something for that.
Yeah, I'm a Marine. I take that to heart. It comes very dear to me. And I'm down, and I hate, you know, I hate seeing, like, veterans get shafted. That's one of my pet peeves. It's huge. It just irritates the hell out of me. I'm not, you know,
Yeah, you know, they fight. We're the fight guys. We're just trying to, you know, help them in a different type of fight, you know, the fight of life, you know. A lot of people forget, you know, there's fighting in the cage, in the ring, in the Middle East, but, you know, after everything finished, you still have to fight for life, you know. You just can't sit there and, you know, have shit happen to you. Some people, you know, they need help fighting life, you get me?
Yeah, it comes a point in time that it's maybe, like, overwhelming or, you know, maybe, you know, they've had so many injuries and surgeries, put them back together again, you know, or, you know, they just have maybe PTSD and they can't deal with it mentally. I mean, there's so many issues. There's so many issues. But, you know, we could definitely, get support from you guys in any way and then, like, see, like, where we could take this at. And it could be, you know, this badass thing, like, we could just, you know, we're close to D.C. and I know there's a lot of, like, people out there that have, like, great contacts that we could go ahead and, like, see what's going to happen. I mean, like, I'm trying to take this, that medical device and maybe instill it into the VA. You know, I know, like, at the VA, they had, like, alternative medicine program and, you know, for, you know, former war veterans. And they offer them, like, a whole bunch of, like, alternative medicine, just like, you know, acupuncture and meditation and yoga and all this other stuff, which is awesome. It is. You know, it helped me so much out myself. And I know other veterans as well. But I could see this medical device even helping them even further, you know?
Yeah, so, you know, as people, you know, anything that helps, you know, get the ball rolling, you know. And VR feels like a pretty cool device. I had limited experiences with it, you know. But even reading about it and talking to people who have used the device, you know, like, it has done a lot of great things, you know. Hopefully it gets approval and it keeps on, you know, reaching more people because it's a great thing. If you guys want to get some info on it, you guys go on YouTube.
That just reminded me, actually, I have two friends that are trying to put, like, this center together for, like, veterans, and it's going to have, like, you know, psychologists for PTSD and massage therapy and other, like, ways to just, you know, like, group activities and stuff like that. And it's, I'm definitely, like, a part of it, and I told them whatever they need, like, in whatever way I'm going to help, I can help. But if you're more interested in that, like, just, you know, hit us up. Like, email me with any questions or any, just tell me, like, you know, kind of like your background, if you have any, or you have any contacts we can get at. Because we're trying to, my friend, shout out to Sonia. She's trying to build, like, this clinic for veterans.
So this is Center for Children, you know, with Dr. Stefan Provencher, you know. And I think, you know,
that's another one.
Stefan. Super cool guy, super down-to-earth guy, super knowledgeable, informative guy who wrote this great book, The Billionaire Parenting, Give Your Kids the World, him and Jennifer Luck, you know, it's a great book, you know, and he that guy's something else, you know, like, even when I talk to him, he seems like a gem, like, wow, this guy, you know, he's, you know, those people when you meet them and you see, like, they were put on this world to do good, like, this guy's going to make shit happen, you know. Like, this guy's changing shit, you know. Those type of people, he has, like, that it thing on him, and it's really, really cool.
Yeah, and they think of, you know, they have, like, this holistic mentality, which is, like, my mentality is not, like, oh, you know, give me pills, give me drugs, and I'm good. Like, hell no. Like, I don't want to be, like, you know, addict. If it helps for you, I mean, hey, by all means, do that. But there's a lot of, like, ailments people have, that you don't need to be taking all this prescription medicine and then becoming an addict, if that's the case. But, you know, using, like, Eastern and Western philosophy, you know, on medicine, and having, like, primitive medicine as well.
Yeah, but not also saying that these new conventional uses are bad, you know. They could be very helpful, but they're not the only way, you know. And that's the thing with some people, that they get distracted and think that's the only way. Now, really, let's educate yourself and learn there's other different shit out there, you know. Like, it's like MMA. You look at MMA, you know. You could be a good kickboxer, a great jiu-jitsu artist. There's different ways of getting the W. Same thing in life, you know. Everybody's trying to get to that goal, but you could take a different path. You're still going to get there, you know. And that's the thing, you know, that sometimes that we forget. We think there's only one way, you know, to do something. No, there's a million ways, and you can make your way, you know, because our bodies, we're all different, you know. And you just got to, you know, take your time, learn about yourself, learn about your body, and you take it on from there, you know. And that's the thing, you know, most of the people, they forget that they are number one because, you know, we have work, shit happens, kids, life. Yeah, you know, but, you know, you got to take care of number one. And sometimes you got to take time and think about number one. Hey, what's good for number one? And you go off from there.
That's true. To me, it's like a toolbox, you know, and there's different tools in the toolbox. And it's like, you know, with me shattering my leg, you know, Eastern philosophy was going to help me out. I needed, you know, actually steel plates and screws and surgery. There was no way I was going to, you know, be here. You know, my dad, he needed, like, heart valve replacement. And, like, science is definitely good, and, like, technology is good, and it is useful sometimes, but not for everything. You have to get surgery and to get, like, your vertebrae, you know, and all this other stuff. Like, there's sometimes, you know, benefits, and it's just a toolbox. It's like, when and where and what situation, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're not going to overkill something and use a machine gun, you know, on a deer. You know, you're going to go all out. Like, that's insane. Like, you know what I'm saying? You use a rifle, you one shot, like, a clean kill. You know what I'm saying? And that's the same point. Like, you don't have to, I mean, drop an atomic bomb on this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, wow.
Yeah, you can take different approaches, you know. The same thing we're going to do with this podcast. We're going to take different approaches. It's something that would be unconventional. We're just going to roll off. We are going to be having guests in the future. Right now, you know, we're trying to get our feed. We're trying to, you know, find our place, you know. And once from there, we got some cool people willing to come on, you know, and hopefully you guys will like what we have to come on. And, you know, you hope you guys have a good evening and enjoy the show.
Yeah, good night, guys. If anything, you know, whether it be hate mail or, like, love, or, you know, if you love it or hate it, or you want to improvements, or you want us to talk about different stuff, or you want us to have, like, I know so many people, you know, like, that going from doctors to veterans to athletes to cancer survivors to just a whole bunch of, like, diverse people, and it's, like, so cool to, like, have different conversations with them in whatever they, like, are, a part of or really knowledgeable on. You know, I ran into this guy, and, you know, he was talking about, like, different diets, you know, how to kind of, like, get rid of cancer with different diets, and I had cancer myself, and I kind of, like, you know, took a holistic approach to that as well, and I kind of, like, cleaned my diet out for that same purpose. And I know there's some people out there that, you know, they don't have this knowledge, and, you know, they get chemo, and they put all these, like, poisons into their body, and then, you know, unfortunately, they pass away, and in the last few months, they don't have, like, a good lifestyle. They don't have, like, a good life. It, you know, it's just, you know, that poison just runs their life, and it just ruins it. So, you know, if we can be beneficial to society or to the world or someone gets something from this or gets like an idea like, hey, that works for me, or like, you know, I can improve this, like, you know, this, these guys gave us an idea, or like, you know, whatever it is, like, hit us up, like, I'm game.
All right, so that was all for us. We'll be back later on the week. Guys, have a good one.